AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You ever have that moment? You see something amazing, maybe a stunning sunset, grab your camera or phone, take the shot, and then, well, it just doesn't look the same.
Oh, yeah, that's super common. The photo just doesn't capture the feeling, the colors feel. It can be really frustrating.
Exactly. And that feeling is exactly what we're tackling today. If you feel a bit lost with your digital camera, maybe you're just starting out, or, you know, your photography skills feel a little rusty, this deep dive is definitely for you.
Yeah, our mission here is pretty simple, really. We want to pull out the most important first steps you can take to feel, well, more confident using your camera.
Just demystify some of those basic buttons and settings.
Right, so you can start getting pictures that actually look like what you saw.
And we've been digging into some great material for this. It's from the digital camera class, Hands-On and Fun, that C1M Photography Academy offers. It's really practical stuff.
It is. Very hands-on. And we're going to zero in on three key things today. Getting your white balance right, understanding the exposure triangle, that's shutter speed, aperture, and ISO, and learning how to use your autofocus effectively.
Get these basics down, and honestly, you'll see a difference pretty fast.
Absolutely. It's a foundation.
Okay, so let's dive in. First up, white balance. It sounds technical, maybe, but what is it actually doing?
Well, think about light. Light isn't just, you know, bright or dark. It has color. Like, indoor light bulbs often give off a warm, kind of yellowish light, right?
Yeah, but compared to maybe sunlight.
Exactly. Sunlight can be cooler, more bluish sometimes. White balance is basically you telling your camera, hey, this is the kind of light we're in.
Oh,
so yeah. The camera can adjust and make sure that something white in your scene actually looks white in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the other colors look more natural, too.
Right, so you don't get those photos where everything looks kind of orange or weirdly blue.
Precisely. Like if you take a photo inside under tungsten light without adjusting, people can look way too orange, almost like fake tans. It's a white balance thing.
So how do you set it? What's the first step?
It actually starts with a really basic question. Are you inside or are you outside?
That's it. Just inside or outside.
For a starting point, yeah. Most cameras have presets. You'll see icons, maybe like a little light bulb for indoors or a sun for outdoors, maybe a cloud too.
Right.
Picking the right one gives the camera the basic info it needs to correct for that light's color cast.
And the source material we looked at really stressed how obvious it is when you get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The photos look very orange or very blue.
Oh, it's not subtle at all. It's one of those settings that makes an immediate visible difference. Now, you can get way more technical with white balance, custom settings, and all that.
Which they probably cover later on.
Yeah, C1M delves into the color of light more deeply in their other classes, like the big Photography 1 course. But just knowing inside or outside is a huge first step.
Okay, takeaway number one. Check your white balance. Tell the camera if you're indoors or outdoors.
Yeah.
Simple enough.
Got it.
Now, let's move to the exposure triangle. Sounds a bit like geometry class.
Yeah.
Shutter, aperture, ISO.
Huh. Yeah, it does sound a bit intimidating, maybe. But really, it's just the three main controls you have for how much light hits your camera sensor. They all work together to get the brightness right.
Three knobs to control the light. Okay, let's break them down. First one, shutter speed. What's that doing?
Shutter speed is just how long the camera's shutter stays open, letting light hit the sensor. It's measured in seconds, or usually fractions of a second.
Like 1/1000th of a second, or maybe 1 second.
Exactly. And the key thing it affects, creatively, is motion.
Right. Freezing action or showing blur.
You got it. A fast shutter speed, like 1/1500th or 1/11000th of a second, freezes things dead in their tracks. Think sports photography, a bird flapping its wings. You need speed to capture it sharply.
And a slow one.
A slow shutter speed, maybe 1/115th of a second or even longer, lets moving things blur. The example in the class material was a skateboarder, right?
Yeah.
At a slow speed, the skateboarder is a blur, showing movement. Fast speed, they're frozen midair.
So it's a creative choice then. Blur isn't always bad.
Definitely not. Sometimes you want that blur. Think waterfalls or light trails from cars at night. Or that technique called panning.
Oh yeah, where the background is blurry but the moving subject is sharp.
Exactly. You follow the subject with your camera using a slightly slower shutter speed. Really gives a sense of speed. Shutter speed is all about controlling time and motion.
Cool. Okay, part two of the triangle. Aperture. This is the f-stop thing, right?
Yeah.
F2.8. F11.
Aperture is basically the size of the opening inside your lens. Like the pupil in your eye, it gets bigger in the dark to let more light in, smaller in bright light.
Okay, makes sense. But the numbers seem backwards.
Yes. The classic f-stop confusion. It is counterintuitive. A small f number, like f1.4 or f2.8, means a large, wide-open aperture. It lets in more light.
More light with a smaller number.
Okay. And a large F number, like F11 or F16, means a small, narrow opening, less light gets through.
Got it. Small number, big hole, lots of light. Big number, small hole, less light. Like fractions, sorta. 12 is bigger than 116.
That's a great way to think about it. And aperture doesn't just control light, it has another huge creative effect, depth of field.
Which is the blurry background thing we talked about.
Exactly. Depth of field is how much of your picture is sharp from front to back. That wide aperture, the small F number, like F2.8, gives you a shallow depth of field.
Meaning only your subject is sharp.
Right. Your subject pops and the background gets that nice soft blur. Perfect for portraits, makes the person stand out.
And the narrow aperture, the big F number, like F16.
That gives you a large depth of field. Much more of the scene is sharp, from the stuff close to you all the way to the background. Think landscape photos where you want everything in focus. The toy cow example in the material showed this really well.
Yeah, one cow sharp versus all cows sharp. Okay, that's clicking now. Aperture controls light and focus depth.
You've got it. It's a powerful control.
All right, last quarter of the triangle, ISO. What's its job?
ISO is about your camera sensor's sensitivity to light. Think of it like turning up the volume on a microphone.
Okay.
A low ISO, like 100 or 200, means the sensor isn't very sensitive. You need plenty of light. A high ISO, like 1600 or 3200, makes the sensor much more sensitive. It can hear or see light better in dark conditions.
So high ISO is great for shooting indoors without a flash or at night.
It can be, yes. It lets you use faster shutter speeds or narrower apertures than you otherwise could in low light. But there's a catch.
Always a catch. What is it?
Noise. Digital noise. As you increase the ISO, making the sensor more sensitive, you also increase the chance of seeing speckly graininess in your image, especially in the shadows.
So it makes the picture brighter, but potentially less clean or smooth.
Exactly. It's a trade-off. You want the lowest ISO you can get away with for the best image quality, but you raise it when you need to capture the shot in dim light.
Okay. Shutter for motion, aperture for depth of field, ISO for sensitivity. And they all interact to get the right exposure, the right brightness.
That's the core concept. Mastering how they balance each other is key to getting out of auto mode. And like we said, this class is a great starting point. It's not the full deep dive like the 6-week Photography 1 course, but it really nails these essentials to get you going. And they run this hands-on class pretty regularly, maybe 4 times a year or so.
Good to know. Okay, foundation laid. Now let's talk about actually getting the right thing sharp. Autofocus. My camera has like a million little squares in the viewfinder.
Huh. Yeah, modern autofocus is amazing, but it can be overwhelming. And the default setting, where the camera tries to guess what you want in focus using all those points, it often guesses wrong.
Tell me about it. Focus is on the tree behind the person I'm trying to photograph.
Exactly. So the recommendation, especially when you're starting, is to take control back. Set your camera to use just one autofocus point, usually the one right in the center.
Just the middle one. Why?
The center point is typically the most accurate and sensitive one your camera has. It's the most reliable. On Nikons, it might be called single point AF. On Canons, you'd manually select just the center point. You'll see it highlighted in your viewfinder.
Okay, one center point, and what are the mode? AFS, AFC.
Stick with the single shot mode for now. That's usually AFS on Nikon, or one shot AF on Canon.
What is that too?
It means when you press the shutter button halfway down, the camera focuses once on whatever is under that center point, and then it locks that focus distance as long as you hold the button halfway.
Okay, single center point, single shot mode.
Yeah.
Got it. But what if my subject isn't in the middle of the picture? I don't want everything centered.
Perfect question. That's where the focus and recompose technique comes in. It's super useful.
How does that work?
Okay, 3 steps. One, Put that active center focus point directly over the most important part of your subject, usually the eyes on a person.
Right, on your eye. Got it.
2, press your shutter button halfway down. The camera focuses, and you'll probably hear a beep or see a confirmation light. Now keep holding that button halfway down. Don't let go.
Okay, holding it, focus is locked.
3, while still holding the button halfway, move your camera to reframe the shot how you want it composed. Put your subject off to the side, wherever it looks best. Then, once you have your composition, press the shutter button the rest of the way down to take the picture.
Ah, because I kept the button halfway down, it remembered the focus distance from when the center point was on their eye.
Bingo. You focused where you wanted, locked it, then recomposed. The focus stays sharp on your subject, even if they're not in the center anymore. The examples in the course material show this perfectly focus on the face, then swing the camera to frame them better.
That's brilliant. Okay, that makes so much sense. That's a really practical tool.
It really is a simple way to get control over where your camera focuses.
All right, this has been incredibly helpful. Let's just quickly sum up the big 3 starting points again.
Sure. First, white balance. Just tell your camera if you're inside or outside for better color. Second, the exposure triangle basics. Shutter controls motion, aperture controls depth of field and light, ISO controls sensitivity, especially in low light.
And third?
Autofocus. Use that single center point, set it to single shot mode, AFS, or one shot, and practice the focus and recompose technique.
If you've been feeling kind of stuck or intimidated by your camera, seriously, just working on these 3 things can make a huge difference. It builds that foundation. And remember, this hands-on class is offered multiple times a year, so you can jump in when it suits you.
Absolutely. And if you find yourself really getting into this and you want to go deeper, explore shooting modes, truly understand light, master composition, then the More Comprehensive Photography 1 course is the logical next step. You can find info on all the classes and schedules over at c1academy.com.
Definitely check that out. So here's a final thought to leave you with. Just think about how understanding these few settings, white balance, the basics of exposure, and how to control your focus point, how could that change the way you take pictures tomorrow? What kind of creative doors does that open up for you? Just having that little bit more control.